Public sector unions are widely seen as some of the creators of the American middle class, and that's especially true here in Hawaii, where public sector union membership is so strong. Here, when you go to work for the state or county, you sign up as a union member automatically and pay dues accordingly. The lack of an option troubles Robert Ault of the Buckeye Institute, a free market-focused think tank on the mainland. He wonders why workers aren't being given a choice of union membership and says most workers agree with him.
It's something where I think a lot of them don't recognize that there could be the possibility of them having a choice, not a choice between unions and a choice as to whether or not they have a union representing them. And in large measure, I think that goes to, you know, a number that when I first heard it, I found it fairly startling, and that's that 94% of unionized workers in this country have never had the opportunity to vote for the union that's representing them. And in large measure, that's because, to use the example you gave, the individuals, you know, began their employment after the union was elected as the bargaining representative. Let me give one example just to sort of paint a picture. I live in Columbus, Ohio. The local union for the teachers is the Columbus Teachers Association, and they were voted in as the collective bargaining agent back in the late 60s when Nixon was in the White House and the Beatles were still together.
Right.
But if you walk into an elementary school classroom, the teacher who's teaching up in front in my neighborhood, they like weren't even born then.
Right.
So in terms of that, they inherited a union. I've never had the opportunity to have a vote as to what union's representing them or whether they wish to be represented by that union.
Do they do much complaining about that?
You know, the complaint I hear quite a bit about is it goes to accountability. 85% of union workers who we've polled think that having regular periodic elections for their union, as they've done in a couple of states, creates greater accountability. And on the flip side, if you go to our website, workervotingrights.org, you'll find the president of one of the major public sector unions, I believe it was AFSCME, was quoted after one of the states enacted a worker voting rights reform piece of legislation. They admitted that, look, before the reform came in place, we were taking our members for granted. We weren't even communicating well with them. And they instituted reforms once they had to stand for regular election. Goes to just the basic principle that competition is good. Allowing the workers to have a voice is good, and increases the accountability of those unions to their workers.
Union advocates might, I'm trying to speculate as to what kind of arguments you might get back, and one of them, of course, would have been the public workers union have done an enormous amount of good for their members, right?
In which case, those unions will do very well at the polls. In fact, if you take a look, Iowa has worker voting rights, and they just had elections. Very high participation from workers in that state in the elections, and the vast majority, I think it was something like 88% or more of the unions that stood for re-election were recertified, which is to say they were doing a good job, the workers were happy, they went ahead and voted for them. In other states, at times where the unions haven't been providing those services, the workers end up voting them out. This isn't something that's predetermined in terms of the outcome. This simply actually empowers the workers to actually be able to exercise that choice and to have a voice with regard to their representation.
When you say that there's a need for greater accountability, have there been instances of public worker unions really abusing their power and taking advantage of that lack of accountability?
Oh, I think certainly you can point to examples with regard to corruptions that have occurred in certain unions, but I think the issue is less about, you know, real abuse and more a question of just management and, you know, sort of the direction of the union. A lot of the unions end up engaging in a lot of political activity on behalf of one party or another, sometimes in ways that their rank and file membership may or may not agree with. They engage in certain collective bargaining that, for instance, that may not be consistent with what it is that the workers in that union wish for. But again, if they don't actually have the opportunity to have a vote with regard to which union represents them, there's not as strong of a check to align the union's activities with the interests of the membership.
when a union is firmly in place and has the power, as a public workers union does, I would think the last thing it would want would be to throw open the lists to competition with itself.
Well, in terms of that, I can certainly understand. I think most of us would love it if we could get elected once with a one-and-done election in which we never had to stand for re-election. That would be nice. But, you know, in America, we tend to believe that having elections increases accountability and make sure that the representatives are actually representing our interests. And I think that that applies as well to public sector unions. Particularly in states where there's not a right-to-work system, where, again, the requirement is that you have to pay your union dues or your agency fees as a condition of employment, and if you fail to do so, you can be fired. That raises some fundamental fairness questions if you've never had the opportunity to even have a say, to have a vote with regard to which union represents you or whether you wish to have the union that's representing you do so. There have been cases, even in states where they don't have worker voting rights, where individuals have been successful in switching from one union to another, but those are really more the exception than the rule. It's so difficult to decertify a union and to be able to bring another union in. You don't see much competition. But with a system of worker voting rights, I think that would actually really open up potential choice for workers.
The situation you describe of essentially mandatory union membership if you're going to get a public worker's jobs, how prevalent is that across the country?
In any state that is not right to work presently, trying to recall the number, there's been a couple of states that have added right to work recently. So I think just recently it tipped, so the majority of states are right to work such that they cannot condition employment on paying union dues or fees. I think it's something in the ballpark of 26 states are right to work, but obviously Hawaii is not right to work. Ohio, where I live, is not right to work. And so in both of those states, it is a condition of employment that you pay either your union dues to be a member or your agency fees.
Are you feeling a groundswell in your direction moving toward this?
The interesting thing is just the overwhelming support among workers. There's been quite a bit of polling done on this. And nationwide, the support ranges from 82 to 85% in a variety of polls. In Ohio, where I live, we oversampled union households to get a sense of where unions stood versus non-union members. Union households polled 90% in favor of requiring regular periodic votes for union representation. I've been in the public policy game a long time. That's extraordinary. And I think it goes, and the interesting thing is the support among union households was far greater than the support among non-union households. And I think it's because they genuinely desire to have the authority and the opportunity to be able to actually vote for their union representation.
It'll be interesting to see if that kind of support translates into a really widespread public pressure, won't it?
It is. So far, you've seen a few states that have adopted this reform, and more states are considering it. Recently, Congress, a piece of legislation was introduced. I think there's a second piece that was already pending in Congress. I tend to think, once again, that given what's happened in Washington, not just in recent days, but in recent years, I don't tend to be terribly optimistic about seeing major reform pass through Washington. But I do think, given the widespread support among workers, that you could see a cascading effect in the states.
Robert Ault is the president and CEO of the Buckeye Institute, a free market-focused public policy think tank based in Columbus, Ohio. You can find a link to the group's work on today's edition of the Conversation podcast on HawaiiPublicRadio.org.